your touch. I decide. I can see it in your eyes. My touch. I decide. I can see it in your eyes. See it in your eyes. I really do not owe you 24/7 magic in the air. Since you wasn't there, do you see I don't owe you? What are you gonna do? 24/7 magic in the air. In the air. See, to me it wasn't there. Welcome to Da Illuminati. This is episode after 14. This is Joanna Morrow. Welcome to my show. You touch, I'll decide. I can see it in your eyes. You touch, I'll decide. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your eyes. I just got out the shower and was singing in there. And the song started out different when I stepped in. And I didn't write down the lyrics or anything. I just forgot and hopped out the shower, and that's what I got. I'm like, well, I was going to do a show anyway. My show is about homelessness and how I have a story to tell regarding homelessness. There was a time I was living out of hotels looking for somewhere nice to stay. And there was a time where I was in a shelter. I stayed in an RCA for about a week and even checked myself in to the Hospital for Mental Health Services. Why did I have to go through a turbulent time? Well, what happened is I was online, and I live in Hennepin County, and Hennepin County had a video about this shelter called People Serving People, and they said, if you come to this shelter within a month, we're going to find you your own place. So I seen that and believed it, and I'm like, I'm staying at home now, and I have kids, and that seems like the quickest route to find, like, affordable housing. And so, by choice, I decided to go to the shelter called People Serving People, so I can get in that program, get my own place. People had always told me about Section 8 and public housing. They're like, everyone's on Section 8. I pay $30 a month. And I know that housing is supposed to be 30% of your total income. And so I was like, well, with what I'm making right now, that seems like the best option. But as the story goes on, you see that was not a good choice. I ended up getting banned from People Serving People, meaning for the rest of their lifetime, I cannot go back. I had gotten suspended for like 30 days and I went somewhere else and came back. But it was basically an animal house. Like, the video just made it seem like everything was going to be okay. And this was the number one factor in the shelter, is that I would sleep there. And then I would check out in the morning and go about my business. Like, I usually would go to Whole Food Market and I'd eat at Whole Food Market because I didn't like the meals that they were serving, like the quality. Or I would go somewhere else. But the point was, I would stay out all day. I didn't hang in the shelter. So I was just there to check in at night and was gone the whole day. Didn't bother anybody. But as I found out, that didn't matter because people still had a problem with me. I had on nice clothes. That was a problem. I would go to the Mall of America and I would shop a lot. And I had clothes from Bloomingdale's. And that was like a nice store that's not there at the Mall of America anymore. And people would see how I'm dressed and they would hate on that. People hated that I stayed to myself and didn't cause trouble. That was a big problem for them. And basically everyone was in my business. Like, they would go to the office area and be telling stories about me, saying things about me, talking about me, going to the front desk, talking about me. And it would be right in front of my face, like a lot of people did. One time I wanted to use the washer and someone left their stuff in the washer and it wasn't washed. And I sat it on top of the washer and washed my stuff. And this girl just came and just started railing on me, calling me all types of names. I shouldn't touch your clothes. I'm trying to steal. And it was just crazy. I'd be in the elevator, then someone just says, "You're a B-I-T-C-H. I was coming into the building and this girl said I tried to run her over with my baby stroller. It was just crazy. And there's a lot of problems. And so I called the CEO and I called the people that were in charge of how this facility is and complained, and they never got back to me. I had to call the police several times because even my roommates were acting crazy. Like, this one girl stayed in my room and the room was like a pigsty. There was stuff everywhere. And then, like, she was laying in bed and she rose like a zombie and started, like, going off and talking crazy. There's the situation that I call Ike. And this is a crazy story. Like, there's this buff black dude. Never seen him in my life. Didn't know where he come from, what department he worked in. And I was moving out of the shelter. So he was going to take me to show me where to put my items because I couldn't take my items with me, so I had to put them somewhere. But anyway, we walked. I walked with him, and it was just me and him, and there was nobody in this area of the building. And he took me into a room, was dark, and turned on the light. Then he shut the door behind him and started talking really crazy, getting really mad, and balling up his fist. And right when he started walking towards me, we were in a garage and this white dude out of nowhere came and raised up the garage door. And that's what stopped that dude from, I guess he wanted to punch me, punch my lights out, something. But he started talking real crazy and got mad. "What are you not listening? What are you doing?" It was insane. And if anyone hears about Ike, that is the story of Ike. It happened at the shelter. One thing I really didn't like is when I was leaving, they brought a cart into my room and they said, "Pack up all your stuff and leave it on the cart and we will take it and put it in storage for you to get it. You have to get it within 14 days, a month, whatever." So I packed up everything in my room, had it nice and neat on the cart. There was a water pitcher left in the room from another roommate that was gone, And it was left on a nightstand completely away from the cart. The cart was rolled over by the door. All my stuff was on it. Okay, so when I come back, like 2 weeks later, I go to the area where they have my stuff. And I had brought stuff from home. It was like really nice. I had this nice gray comforter and gray striped pillowcases and pillows. They had taken the water pitcher and put it in my bag with my comforter and pillows with water still in it. All right. Now, if you see a full water pitcher, you can A, pour the water out, B, leave it alone, or C, you can take the water pot, you can put it on my cart, and you can leave it separate. But they put a full water pitcher in the same bag as my blankets, which is hate. I had complained several times to the front desk that people were being really loud. I had a room by the elevator, and people were extremely loud because they knew it was my room. And there would be kids and people that would knock on my door and run down the hall. Like, it was all night. I was pregnant with my son Noah, and I couldn't get any sleep. I had my younger son, or my oldest son, with me. And at one point, my oldest daughter was there when I went to the shelter the first time. But after she seen how people were treating us and that it was dirty and uncomfortable, she was like, I'm up. I'm going to stay with grandma. So I seen that video and had fallen for the okie doke and going to the nice shelter where you just go and you mind your business and go through the program and then you get your own crib was not it. And I just want to remind everyone, all this came about because everyone was so crazy at the time and ridiculous. Like, everything wasn't just peachy keen, or it wasn't like it was or it is right now. But yeah, I would stay out the whole day when I was at People Serving People, go and handle business, go to make phone calls, or go to the CPS building. And I even would make trips out to the casino and just walk around. Or one time I sat in like high stakes for hours. And yeah, the casino was like my fun place. And I had moved around to two different rooms, and I had to have a roommate if I had just one kid. If I had like two or three kids, I would be in the room by myself, but since I had one kid, I would need a roommate. And one of the custodian or the office mate took me into an actual meeting room, a boardroom. Like, well, we don't know where else to put you right now. And it was just a boardroom with a big long meeting table and like no windows. And she was like, you can go in here, but there's like no bathroom or nothing. Like, they didn't know what to do. But I ended up getting banned, so I can't go back there, and I wasn't worried about it. It wasn't a good experience. When I had gotten suspended for the 30 days, I went to a place called Nancy Page House, and it's like for people like with anxiety or if something's going on, you know, in the family or the house. And it was like a hostel, not a hostel where you have a room to yourself, but like you're sharing room with other people and there's like beds. And I went there and there's a girl just going crazy and screaming and just flipping out and just very angry. And also, there's this thing they do where at night they have people come into your room and shine a flashlight on you in the middle of the night. And it's like every 30 minutes or every hour or so. I would be asleep and then somebody would just come in the door and shine flashlights on everyone to check up on them. And yeah, that's what I remember most about that place. You also had to attend group service, and it would be where they have a topic and everyone gets to talk and discuss stuff. And there's like free time. We had this room with like activities and puzzles and reading material. And it was like that type of thing. Like, in order for you to stay there, you had to participate in like the group services and meet with a worker and stuff like that. I wasn't there long, but it was still like disturbing from other people's behaviors. There also was a psychiatrist there that could prescribe medication. I was at the Salvation Army and I didn't have my own room. I actually slept on a mat, and how that works is when you don't have your own room, they make you leave the building at 7:30 and you do whatever you want to do. And then you have to be in like by 6 when they serve you dinner, and they serve you breakfast before you leave. You have to be out of the building at 7:30. Okay, then you come back around 6 and they fix you something, and then you take a mat and you just lay it outside of the rooms on the floor, like in the hallway. So it's just basically you're sleeping on a mat in the hallway. And I was there not long. It just was like a hard situation because I couldn't go back to, you know, the main shelter. And then there were like other shelters that were all full. Like, the shelters were totally full. And it was like my only place to go, like my only option. I had been to Nancy Page and that didn't work out. And it was crazy. That's why I'm telling this story, to show you like how crazy it really was and what I had to go through. Because of people like you, whoever that is meant for. Like, people expect me just to like forget stuff or not think about it. That's unrealistic. There was a time that I slept in my Toyota Corolla, and that was in a garage, and I was just out there and, you know, slept out there. And like, when I wanted to take a shower, clean up, I would get a garden hose and put it in the garage and worship with soap. And yeah. And also, and this was when I was pregnant, there's this place called the Simpson House. And it was another one of those, like, they serve you breakfast and you got to be out at 7:30. And then you can come back if there is a bed for you. You have to check like every night to see if there was a bed. And I stayed there and had a little storage cubicle. There were people that complained about me opening the storage cubicle door. Like, I'd be in the bathroom, somebody would come and swing the bathroom open and like hit me. And like, people were arguing with me, wanting to fight. Like, that was probably the biggest thing. Like, people would start like an argument and then want to actually fight, and that's not happening with me. Like, you can get on somewhere with that. You can fight with yourself. Don't try to fight with me. And then lastly, I had a social worker helping me, like a public defender. And they recommended, if I didn't have any place to go, to check myself into the hospital. and it's called the psych ward they were talking about. So I checked myself into there. I had to go there. It was mandated or something, or court mandated or anything like that. But I checked myself in and wanted to get like some rest. And then I got there and I'm like, okay, I spend a day or two here and I'm fine. I'm ready to leave. They're like, wait a second, Scrub. It is Friday. You cannot get out on the weekend. Like, what do you mean? They said the earliest you could get out is Monday. No one is able to leave on the weekend. I'm like, oh my goodness. But yeah, I stayed in there and they had activities and like every hour was something different. The food was a little better and you met with doctors and talked over your case and why you were in there, and I basically just slept and watched TV. I was also in there one other time because I went to my psychiatrist and I said, everyone is talking about me on the bus and everyone is just acting really crazy and ridiculous. She was just like, just one second. And then came back in like, we think you need to go upstairs. I'm like, for what? And she's just like, oh, just to get some rest. I was not feeling that at all. And I have actually been to mental health court, and I'm not sure if people know that there is such a thing. But yes, there is like a court, and I can't remember. Well, it's in like a business downtown or a building downtown, and it's an actual court. It's called Mental Health Court, and I've been there, and I mean, everything went. I wasn't guilty of anything, and I had a chance to talk to the judge and explain my story, and it was one of those things where I'm like, I could do this myself. Like, I could defend myself because there's nothing that anyone could say that would be higher than what I could say. But like I said, that was my first time being there. I didn't know that such a court exists, and I had a lawyer, and basically I had to just stay in there and they had to do paperwork, and it was just a longer stay than what I wanted. So yeah, it's question time. Why did I have to go there? Like, why did I even have to do all that? And it's because people were completely out of their minds and wanted to see me fail and wanted to see my family fail and wanted to use my family against me and all of that crazy stuff. That's why I was there. The streets definitely are not for me. The shelter is definitely not for me or anything like that. And also the psych ward, because I'm going to be real with you. You know, all of this stuff is about mental health. So I have a mental health team. And if I feel frustrated at any time, or if I feel overwhelmed, the psych ward is an option, but not like really, 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 because if I don't have to go, I don't have to go. But I'm just saying, like, that's like an option if things got completely out of control, but it's not. But yeah, like I said, I wanted to tell this story because that is something that I had to go through in this whole grand picture of mental health. This is having to do with mental health. And everything wasn't an easy ride. Everyone just thinks like, you know, nothing is wrong and nothing is the matter and I don't have to go through. I don't know if anyone would think like nothing is wrong, nothing's the matter, and I didn't have to go through anything. But yeah, that's the purpose of this episode. This is a receipt of having to deal with psychopaths. The homeless crisis is bad. All right, thanks for listening. Have a good night. Bye.